In the end, Tammy buckled under the pressure, was whisked to Salt Lake City, and married Merrill late Saturday night. Even though she had been to college and was a teacher, she never mastered the ability to stand up for herself. She had a mouth and would often complain about things no one else would, but Tammy also felt the need to please people. I felt blindsided by the news and said little. Merrill took me back to the hotel. Barbara was prancing around, trying to appear as though she was in complete control. Ruth was veering into a nervous breakdown. She blinked uncontrollably. Her eyes seemed not to focus, and they danced when she talked. There was little coherence in her words. When I arrived, she gave me a hug and in slurred speech said, "For our husband to be given this honor of marrying two new wives is a blessing to us all." But it was clear she didn't believe a word of what she was saying. Kathleen was sitting by herself on the bed, her eyes so red from crying they were almost swollen shut. The tension in the room was pulsating. I was 18 and Kathleen was about 20. I knew exactly how she felt. Merrill announced that he had business to take care of, and he and Barbara left together. I was left with the mess his marriages had created. I said a few gentle words to Kathleen, and she opened up immediately. She told me she'd had no warning that she was about to marry Merrill. The order came out of the blue. I hoped Kathleen and I could become friends. We were both mired in a weird and disturbed world. I would try to help her if I could. Maybe if we grew close, we could find ways to help each other survive Merrill's oppression. When we returned home from Salt Lake City, the dysfunction within our family escalated. There was not enough space in our house in Colorado City for Merrill's six wives. Tammy and Kathleen had yet to sleep with their new husband. This infuriated Tammy, but to Kathleen it felt like an answered prayer. She had been praying to the late prophet to rescue her from this debacle, and her hope was that if her marriage remained unconsummated, she might have a chance to have it annulled. Before I went back to college, I helped Kathleen bring some of her furniture over from Uncle Roy's. As soon as she entered her former home, she burst into loud sobs. The other wives hugged her and tried to be consoling, but she was too distraught to be comforted. Everything about her life was coming undone. At Uncle Roy's, she'd lived a privileged and quiet life. She felt honored to serve him, even though she did a lot of house cleaning as a younger wife. The house was so orderly it did not feel like the slave labor she was slammed into at Merrill's. Because Merrill and Barbara had taken off for Paige, Kathleen was left as the only stable adult in charge of 28 children. I was spending the week at college, Fonita slept all day, and Ruth was descending deeper into madness. Ruth's breakdowns were cataclysmic and frightening. When we came back from the weddings, Ruth began watering the shoes in her closet and treating them like plants. She put her clothes on backward and would dance with the dishes in the kitchen while the children watched and laughed. Kathleen got up every morning at 5 and began to get the children ready for school and prepare their breakfasts. Then she spent the day cleaning our house, which was so overcrowded it was usually filthy. When Merrill called home, his teenage daughters would pretend that they were doing the work and everything was running smoothly. After 2 days in our home, Kathleen was beside herself. Here was a woman who felt she had been worthy enough to marry a prophet of God. Now she was married to a man who seemed completely ungodly and who allowed a contaminated woman to interact with his children. 11 months after my wedding, I became pregnant with my first child. I was violently ill for 9 months. The morning sickness that some women complain of laid siege to me. I lost weight, looked pale, and felt weaker than I'd imagined possible. I knew that by marrying, I had lost control of my life. With my pregnancy, I lost control of my body as well. I had barely any prenatal care. Worse, my pregnancy created even more problems for me within Merrill's family. Within the FLDS, any personal problem is seen as the direct result of sin. Serious emotional or physical problems were considered a curse from God. It was also dangerous for a woman to show any incapacitation related to pregnancy because it was viewed within her family as a sign of rebellion, unless, of course, you were Barbara, in which case the double standard applied with regard to her crying bouts during pregnancy.